Welcome to this week's edition of Holy Apostles' Weekly Sermons.
Children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before them, before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife was stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be performed in their season. And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach from among men. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child. They called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, His name is John. And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue was loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard him, that heard them, laid them up in their hearts, saying, What manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. And thou, child, shalt be called prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel.
Today, in addition to it being Sunday, we celebrate the feast of the Nativity of the Holy Prophet, Forerunner, and Baptist of the Lord, John. And incidentally, there are only two saints whose feasts we keep as both their conception and their nativity. We obviously celebrate the conception and the nativity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the nativity being on December the 25th. I hope you got that one. The feast of his conception is March the 25th, the feast of the Annunciation, right? Today we celebrate on June the 24th, the feast of the nativity of the prophet and forerunner and Baptist John. His conception is celebrated on September the 23rd. I'm telling you all this because it's important. Because when the fathers structured the church calendar, it was all for the purpose of teaching us something. In this particular case, you notice that the nativity of Christ is exactly 9 months after his conception. But in the case of John the Forerunner, it's 9 months and 1 day. There's one other, the Theotokos. We celebrate her nativity on September the 8th, but her conception on December the 9th. So it's 1 day just short of 9 months. This points out something, you would never notice this if somebody didn't tell you. But it points to the fact that the perfect one is Jesus Christ. As wonderful as saints as St. John the Forerunner and the Theotokos are, the perfect one is Christ. Today we celebrate the nativity of St. John the Forerunner, and the account is given to us in the Gospel of St. Luke concerning how his father was a priest and his mother was barren and they were both elderly. And his father was serving his time, that doesn't sound quite right, does it? He was in the temple according to his appointed time for serving. And he was offering incense because that was his prescribed task at the time. And St. Luke says the whole multitude of people were praying outside at the time of the incense, and they eagerly waited for him to come out. St. Theophylact says, look, the ancient Jews waited eagerly in the temple for the priest to appear. And he says, and the Christians come late and leave early and think they've suffered much. So that's something for us to keep in mind, obviously. But St. Zechariah was in the temple, and he was there, and the archangel Gabriel, the same one who appears later to the Virgin Mary, appears to him in the temple, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah is troubled, and the angel says, fear not, thy prayer is heard. And then he goes on to say, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. What is it, the prayer? What is the prayer that Zechariah was praying that is heard by God in this case? Surely he wasn't there praying for a son, right? He had accepted this already as his lot in life. His wife was, because later on, whenever the angel says your wife will bear a son, he goes, how's that going to happen? We're both, to use the scriptural phrase, well stricken in years. And in other words, it's not possible. This was not something that was in the realm of conception for Zechariah, right? He wasn't in the temple praying, oh, I wish we had a son. He'd already given that up. So what was he praying? He was a priest, and he was offering incense. And his task as a priest and his task in offering the sacrifices was for the forgiveness of the sins of the people. This was the office of the priest in the Old Testament, to stand before the altar of God and to beseech God to forgive the sins of the people. St. Theophylact says this is the very prayer that the archangel Gabriel comes to him and says, your prayer has been heard by God. And the answer to that prayer, the prayer for the forgiveness of the sins of the people, is that your wife will conceive and bear a son. And that son will point to the Lamb of God and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the role appointed by God for John the Forerunner. These are the prayers that are heard by God. All of the priesthood, think about it, for all those centuries, the priesthood of the Old Covenant was appointed, ordained, prescribed, commanded to offer up intercessions for the forgiveness of the sins of the people. And here it is fulfilled in the time of Zechariah. And he's told, your prayers for the forgiveness of the sins of the people have been heard, and your wife will conceive and bear a son. And then he goes on to tell him prescriptions, basically lays upon him a Nazarite vow from his birth. He will drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him, that is, before God, before the incarnate God, Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah the prophet, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. The fathers being the race of the Hebrews, the Jews, and the children in this case being the apostles, to turn their hearts to them, to hearken unto them, to listen to them. And the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, ultimately, what it all leads up to is to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And so Zechariah, as we mentioned last night, forgetting the stories about Abraham and Sarah and Manoah and his wife, how elderly women were able to conceive by the grace of God, he forgets these things and says, how can this happen? I'm an old man and my wife is well stricken with years. And so the angel rebukes him for his faithlessness and lays upon him a penance, right? Lays upon him this penance that he will be unable to speak until the child was born. It's a finite time, right? It's not an eternal punishment for his faithlessness. It's a finite time for his correction. That he will not be able to speak until the child was born. And so he's in the temple a long time, and everyone is waiting outside for him to reappear. And when he comes out, they see that he's seen a vision. And then he fulfills the days of his appointed time in the temple. And then he goes home, and his wife Elizabeth conceives and hides herself, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he has looked upon me to take away my reproach among men. When the child is born, the neighbors come together for the circumcision, which is appointed to take place on the eighth day, and which went together with the naming of the child. In the church, we name children on the eighth day still. We don't circumcise them anymore in accordance with the commandments from the apostles. But that custom is still kept among us. So on the eighth day, they went to name the child, and they wanted to call him after his father Zechariah. And his mother says, no, he shall be John. And they question her decision, and so they call the father in, who's been mute for 9 months. And they say, give him a writing tablet. What do you want to call your son? And he writes the name John on the writing tablet, and immediately he's able to speak again. And everyone sees what a tremendous miracle has taken place. So we have today this account from the scriptures concerning the nativity of the one whom the Lord called the greatest among those born of women, St. John the Forerunner. And his task remains the same today as it did in those days. The proclamation of repentance, the turning of hearts to God, the preparation of a people for the Lord. And that people is you and me. And as much as we might think ourselves to be unworthy of that calling, nevertheless, St. John still proclaims loudly to us, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Prepare yourselves to meet the Lord. So you and I should not think of these things as simple remembrances of historical events which took place long ago. But we should understand that in the church, in the mystery of the church, we are joined together with the fathers of the ages past, and we hear even today the preaching of the forerunner proclaiming to us the coming in the flesh of the Son of God and commanding us to prepare ourselves to receive him. To God, the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be all glory, honor, and worship to ages of ages. Amen. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is.